ABC Radio Australia.
A space rocket is currently on a collision course with the moon in what's believed to become the first accidental crash. The 4-ton junk from SpaceX rocket has been flying through space for a number of years, but is expected to smash into the moon in early March. Joining me now from Nelson in New Zealand is space scientist Dr. Duncan Steele. Good morning, Duncan.
Yes, good morning.
Now, Duncan, that sounds terrifying, a space collision with the moon. Should we be worried?
No, I don't think you should be worried. Obviously enough, it's better it hits the moon rather than it hits the Earth, although I would immediately say we shouldn't be too worried about re-entering space debris, even here on the Earth. It's a big planet, and it's unlikely that anybody would get hit. Certainly in this case, it's going to hit the far side of the moon, so unfortunately we won't be able to see it, but there are satellites in orbit around the moon which will be able to inspect the crater, which we expect to be formed after the fact.
So that's good news that we don't have anything to worry about. But what can we expect? I mean, we can't see anything, like you said, but what will we find out?
Well, we have deliberately hit the moon in the past with spacecraft. For example, an American spacecraft called LCROSS, that's a long acronym, was deliberately plummeted into the lunar surface at the end of its mission in 2009. In the Apollo program, there were rocket bodies directed to hit the moon after their useful lifetime and so on. And so since then, we've been able to look at the craters which they formed, and this will be a new crater, as it were. And since we know the mass of this rocket body and we know how fast it's going to hit, that will give us a way of calibrating, if you like, the craters on the moon. Of course, it's pockmarked by craters, mostly formed by natural asteroids, comets, meteoroids hitting it. We'll be able to calibrate just how big a crater is formed when a massive object hits the lunar surface. So useful scientifically, also a little bit of an oddity. It's a kind of unusual event to occur, which is why I guess it's newsworthy.
Yes, indeed. I'm certainly interested. Why was there these deliberate attempts to hit the moon? You mentioned there the looking at the collision itself and the craters that they form. What information does it give scientists like you? What does it tell us?
Well, it does give us a way of calibrating how big a crater is formed if we know the mass and the impact speed. It's always a little bit hazy as to how big a crater would be for an impact. But this actually gives us definite knowledge. We know the mass of the object. We know how big it is. We know what it's made of. We can calculate how fast it's going to hit. The answer is about 2.6 kilometers per second. And so that does give us a set of information, which then when we see how big the crater is, will give us better knowledge about how big asteroids, comets, and so on need to be in order to leave certain sized craters on the moon. We do see natural craters being formed all the time by impacts. When I say all the time, it's almost a monthly occurrence that a satellite now in orbit around the moon called the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter is mapping the moon with very, very high spatial resolution, that is very high detail, and it does find new craters every so often, which is kind of surprising. You could say, well, why doesn't the Earth get hit? And the answer is, well, the Earth does get hit by natural objects, so we see shooting stars all the time, but the Earth's atmosphere does tend to shield us from a lot of the kind of cosmic bombardment which occurs. And so craters here on the surface of the Earth are kind of rare because the atmosphere filters out the smaller objects, but they certainly exist. There's more than 30 craters known in Australia, for example, from past impacts by asteroids and comets.
Well, now looking now at this accidental crash, I understand, with this SpaceX rocket, do we understand why it's expected to crash? Like, what's it even doing up there in space?
Well, it was used to launch a meteorological satellite from the U.S. agency National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration back in February of 2015. So it's been almost 7 years since that satellite was launched. Probably people have heard about the James Webb Space Telescope, which was launched a few weeks ago and is now been positioned in a position just outside the Earth's orbit. which is gravitationally stable. Technically, we call it a Lagrange point. Well, this meteorological satellite was sent to the corresponding position inside the Earth's orbit, and it looks outwards, away from the Sun, at the sunlit hemisphere of the Earth, and is used for getting us detailed pictures to see what's happening on the Earth in terms of the weather systems and so on. But this was the upper stage rocket body, which was used to direct it there 7 years ago. After its use, it's a piece of space junk. It's of no use to us anymore. And it's been orbiting around the Earth, but going out beyond the moon's orbit. It just happens that on January the 6th, January the 7th, it did have a close flyby of the moon. And that has diverted its orbit such that, if you like, almost next time around, it will come back and hit the moon from the far side. Before that, it's actually going to fly by the Earth again on February the 9th. So people with suitable telescopes will be charting its position against the background stars and refining our knowledge of its past to make sure that it's absolutely certain to hit on March the 4th. But it does appear extremely likely this is what's going to happen.
Interesting. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pacific Beat here on ABC Radio Australia. And joining me this morning is Dr. Duncan Steele. We're talking all things space junk and luckily not dire, not dangerous collisions with the moon. Now, you mentioned there that people with telescopes will be able to see not the collision itself, but the rocket as it comes by, or at least a part of the rocket. Will people in the Pacific on the islands be able to see that as well?
Yes, but they would need very good equipment with electronic detectors and so on. So no, I'm not suggesting you'd be able to see it with your eye through a small telescope, but certainly there will be imagery, I'm sure, available on the internet. So people tracking this, including, for example, US Space Command, who track all objects in space that they can, we'll be following its path and refining, as I say, our knowledge of its exact trajectory. But it does appear almost certain, as I say, it will hit the moon on March the 4th.
And this is a space junk or a piece of space junk, as you mentioned. How common is space junk? And I've heard some stories about them falling into South Pacific oceans. Is it a particular problem here in this region as well?
No, well, the thing is that if we leave objects in space, they're dangerous, obviously, to astronauts, to the space station, the functioning satellites and so on. They're whizzing around the Earth at extremely high speed. When you see a satellite at night crossing your sky, you know, it's traveling at 7 to 8 kilometers per second. That's extremely high speed. So if we leave things in orbit, which are junk, which are of no use to us anymore, they're actually dangerous. So there does tend to be people, satellite operators, are urged to actually deorbit their objects if they can, if they've still got rocket fuel on board, make it plunge back into the atmosphere. But the satellite graveyard, as such, is indeed the South Pacific, the place that people, satellite operators, aim to crash their satellites back into the Earth's atmosphere, is over the Southern Pacific. Well away from any islands, well away from any populated areas, and that's why it is indeed called the satellite graveyard. That's where satellites are sent, if it's possible, at the end of their useful operations in orbit.
Well, satellite graveyard, but luckily that it's not dangerous for people. Thank you so much, Dr. Duncan Steele, for that. Very fascinating information there.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
That was space scientist Dr. Duncan Steele on the line from New Zealand.